our final argument of the day is United States against Neal.
This case is an appeal of the District Court's denial of Mr. Neal's 3582C2 motion to reduce his sentence pursuant to the amended guidelines applicable to cocaine days. And the Court denied the motion based on undisclosed information. And as best we could tell...
Let me pursue that, because that's my big question. You say undisclosed information.
Yes, sir.
If the district judge is right, I don't understand what needs to be disclosed. The district judge is talking about Neal's own prison record.
Yes, sir.
You don't. It's kind of like disclosing to Neal how tall he is or what he has been convicted of. Now, I could understand a problem if the argument were the district court thought he had been... disciplined for X in prison, but the judge was wrong. So are you saying that the judge was wrong in thinking that Neal had been disciplined for the following things in prison?
Yes. I mean, we were, because the that's why these two are so related, because the information was not disclosed to us prior to the court's ruling, we were not, some of it is somewhat accurate, but all of it is not accurate in our, and I don't want to go beyond the record, but subsequent investigation of these allegations have
You've
not.
You've seen a report?
No, sir. There was no report created. We don't know how the court got the information, although subsequent investigation suggests that it got the information, but I don't want to put the government, I mean, I can speak to what's on the record. What's on the record was the motion was filed.
Yeah. Well,
we were appointed.
What I'm principally interested in is what your contentions are. And you're telling me your contention is the district court was factually wrong in believing that Neal's prison record included the following disciplinary violations.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And because it was not disclosed ahead of time, we were limited to not be able to show the court the inaccuracies of that information.
Well, I guess in the other question, which you don't, since it's not in the record, but the question is, there are administrative appeals that follow disciplinary determinations, but generally in prison too. Right?
Yes, Your Honor. If the case could be remanded, we could then elucidate what information is correct, what information may be mitigated by those hearings, and what information is just not correct at all, or at least we can't find it. And that is basically our request at this point. The standard for this court's review is abuse of discretion. Under these circumstances where error has occurred and what we contend is inaccurate, not completely accurate information has been used by the court in this way, then it's the government's burden to prove that there was no prejudice to Mr. Neal. And I would submit...
Did you ever alert the district judge to this contention that she was mistaken?
We attempted to do so, Your Honor. At the time that the second order was entered with the addendum with actually the information that then revealed the basis for the court's decision, Mr. Lawless, who also represents Mr. Neal, called the court and then filed a motion for extension of time to file the notice of appeal. That would have been on October the 10th. And the court was pondering that request so that we could then go back and ask the court for reconsideration.
Tracking my question. The thing to do is go to the district judge and say, file a motion within 10 days after the judge's decision and say, look, you made a factual mistake. Here's a real copy of his prison record, presumably covered by an affidavit, and we need you to either hold a hearing or change your decision. Did you ever do that to the district
court? No, because we did not have at that moment a real copy of his prison record. We were still trying to get it.
All right. So as you see it, the procedural problem is you've only got 10 days to appeal, and it takes longer than that to get a proper copy of the prison record out of the hands of the prison.
That's exactly correct, Your Honor.
In fact, dealing with the Bureau of Prisons may take even longer than 10 days plus the maximum extension allowed by the rules of appellate procedure.
Your Honor, the difficulties continue in this case.
Not for Judge Merkley.
I'm sorry?
Not for judgment.
Apparently not, Your Honor, but for us. So the issue that I or the position that we've taken in this case is that we're requesting that it be remanded, that we be given an opportunity to clear the record of what the basis for the court's decision was, and frankly, preferably in front of a different judge who has not been influenced by this inaccurate information.
Would you say that, as the government claims, though, if that first order was issued without having seen the Porter Prison report, then you're dead in the water, right?
Your Honor, the answer to that is respectfully no. First of all, we don't know the premise. The government takes the position that the court didn't have that information.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Assuming they're correct, we don't know that.
We don't know that, and I don't assume they're correct.
But if he imposed that without having seen the prison report, then I don't think you're going to go anywhere.
Well, at that point, what we have is the court stating that the court declines to reduce the sentence because it would have imposed a sentence of 137 months under the advisory guideline system. That's an error for a number of reasons. Number one, there was not an advisory guideline system 8 years ago. So 137 months would have been impossible. But number two, if the court were following the policy of the guidelines, which is required under 3582, it could have, as it did in Tidwell, basically say, based on something, which we don't know what, because the court didn't give us facts of the case that supported it, facts of defendant's criminal history which supported it, safety to the community issues other than this information that was undisclosed and inaccurate to support it, the court could have said, I'm not going to address this, what I would have imposed had the guideline sentence been lower, because I don't think that a reduced sentence is appropriate or warranted in this case. And then the court could have articulated reasons. The court didn't articulate specific reasons that are required. It just said safety of community, there's a problem with protect the public and necessary to deter criminal conduct. So those are conclusions based on 3553A. Those are not specifics.
You just want the judge to say what you'd like to hear him say.
Well, Your Honor, we'd like to have something for this court to review, because if the court, in fact, abused its discretion, then we want to be able to show this court that it did so. And if it didn't, we'd like to be able to articulate to our client that the situation is such that...
I suppose you could say he's not a danger to the community, or...
As far as we're concerned, he's not a danger to the community. As far as we're concerned, he doesn't meet the criteria for any of the things that the judge made findings on, but this court is not in a position to assess that. And that's the problem with the procedure that was used in this case. For this reason, it's our position that Mr. Neal's motion was denied based on court's assumptions concerning his prison behavior that are substantially untrue as far as we can determine, and at minimum we have a right to remand for refutation of those reasons. If the court doesn't have any other questions, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Certainly, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Lyons.
Good morning. I'd like to start by noting that the closest this court has come to deciding this issue was its decision in United States versus Young. In that decision, this court said that because 3582C does not provide that the defendant has to be present for these hearings, that you don't have to provide notice and give an opportunity to be heard.
You're not going to get me quarreling with that proposition, but it leaves the contention that in this case the district judge just made a gaffe, right? What happened? Take the simple case. Suppose there are two Tyree Neals, right? And Tyree Neal number one moves for a sentence reduction, and the district court then says, I'm denying it for reasons, and then the district judge gives a bunch of reasons that concern Tyree Neal number two. And the problem wouldn't be lack of a hearing so much or lack of notice that I'm going to confuse you with Tyree Neal number two, but just the fact the district judge did make a confusion, and I suppose that's possible. Isn't that a good reason to try again and actually consider Tyree Neal number one's motion in light of his own record?
And I can understand certainly that argument. And I also agree with that section of Young that
right,
said...
Well, I asked Ms. DeTalia that question, and she said that's the real concern here, that maybe the district judge mixed up Tyree Neal with some other Tyree Neal or with some other person, but the prison record the judge thought this Tyree Neal to have, he doesn't actually have.
The well, I don't think there's a question in here that it's whether it's the right Tyree Neal, but I understand the point that the process that was involved here could give room for error, and that's why I also argued that in the context of this case, I think it's harmless error. There are a couple of cases that the defendant have cited that indicate that the procedure employed here is error, but I think those cases are distinguished for the reason that Judge Kaney pointed out, that in this case, the court issued its initial judgment and conviction. It made the assessment that this defendant was good for 137 months, and it gave reasons that are adequate to comply with 3552 for imposing that sentence. Then 2 weeks later, it issues the amended JNC with an addendum, and it includes this information that the...
But don't you have to make the assumption that Judge Murphy didn't know that?
Yes.
And I
think one of the reasons he didn't, and I guess I am making assumptions, but to me it makes sense that we didn't get notice about this ahead of time because he had already made up his mind and issued a JNC, and this just was what it said it was, an addendum. I also think the time lapse of 14 days is telling.
I don't think we can infer anything from that about when Judge Murphy came into possession of this information. He says, prison officials informed the court that in August 2008, defendant was found guilty in an administrative hearing for a second time of these prison infractions. That doesn't tell us anything about when he came into possession of that information, except that it's after August 2008.
Yeah.
And, of course, the original order denying the motion is file stamped late September 2008. So he could have known it before. He maybe didn't. We just don't know.
I agree. We don't know.
So for that reason alone, it has to be remanded.
That may be the easiest thing to do. We would at least get a clear record. And I think, given my knowledge of the history of this case, I don't think it will be a different result in terms of the court's ultimate determination.
Well, but if it goes to a different judge, it might be.
Oh, that could be, too. If there are any further questions.
What about the propriety of the court conducting its own
investigation? We don't know that happened.
You didn't give the court this information.
I didn't give the court. He could have had probation.
Your opponent didn't give the court this information.
You think he was standing around at a cocktail party with prison officials?
He could have had probation do it. I don't know. But we don't know.
That's a sua sponte investigation by the court.
Things
without
may have
notice.
Changed, but I don't remember Bureau of Prisons automatically sending incident reports to district judges.
I don't know how he got it.
Let's assume the judge did independently investigate. What's your position on the propriety of that?
You should assign it to a...
I'm sorry?
You should assign it to a different judge.
My question is a little bit different. Is that proper? I mean, obviously, we should assign it to a different judge if that's what occurred here, but is that appropriate for a judge on one of these motions to initiate an investigation himself?
No, it's not.
No. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Ms. D'Italia?
No.
Well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.